Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. It is September 11th, 2007, and on this very special edition of the program, we're going to be taking a look at 9/11. We're titled this show 9/11 Remembered. We're going to be discussing the political fallout from 9/11, the changing perceptions of 9/11, why this day doesn't get as much airtime or remembrance as it seemed to. The cable networks are remembering it. Network TV is pretty much ignored, at least for the prime time. So, we only have 30 minutes. I'm going to try to cover as many topics as I can. So, let me bring in right now my co-host for the evening, George.
Hello, Jason.
Hi, George.
How are we?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Can you hear me okay tonight?
What's that?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you a little bit better than last Sunday.
Than Sunday? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we had a little bit of an audio problem on Sunday, so that's why I'm checking to make sure before we launch into the program. George, as you know, today is the 6th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Do you think America has forgotten about 9/11?
I don't think America has really forgotten about it, especially considering the fact that that it's been politicized so much. I think that's what people are. I think that's what is making people not so much forget it, but be a little bit more cynical about it.
Okay.
Just the fact. That,
Do you think jaded would be a better term?
Jaded would definitely be a better term. Yeah. Yeah, I think especially here in New York, you know, it just really feels like, like 9/11 was the reason why we had the Republican convention here in 2004. And it was basically forced down everyone's throats. And it really just left a very sickening feeling. You know, and a lot of...
If you wouldn't mind, talk a second about... You've talked about this before, but talk a second about the Republican convention in 2004 and how it really made you feel, and maybe people you knew there in the city, to have the convention there, basically for political purposes.
Well, it was absolutely there for political purposes. It just felt like I can't speak for everybody because I know that there are a lot of, you know, I have friends who are Republicans who, you know, felt differently. I know. And, you know, it's even weirder. I have friends who are Red Sox fans.
Oh, God. What's worse?
I know.
I'm keep making your point.
Anyway, the situation that I felt, you know, the way that I felt and everything, I just felt like they were kind of claiming it. They were calling dibs on it. It was basically saying that, you know, like that this happened on our watch, even though they can continually say how safer the country is now that, you know, George W. Bush is president, and saying that that there has been no other, you know, terrorist attack since 9/11. They always have to say that, add that little caveat of since 9/11. And only one person out, and of all people, Alec Baldwin, actually called them out on that when he said, which, by the way, happened on your watch. But it just felt like they were basically claiming it as their tragedy. It was their event to use for political gain. And by doing that, you know, like not only did you have Giuliani as a keynote speaker talking about what happened that day, and then you have widows and orphaned children and everything getting up there and, you know, basically, you know, scream, you know, singing like Bush's praises, and then all of a sudden they had a moment of silence, and all of a sudden they started singing Amazing Grace, and it just felt so cheap. It felt absolutely cheap, and it was disgusting the way that was. And I turned off the TV right there. As soon as Amazing Grace started playing, I knew exactly where they were headed, and I turned it right off. It's like, I cannot deal with this. I cannot deal with
it. As a follow-up to this, do you believe that anything, is America safer because of anything George W. Bush has done? Or has it just been dumb luck?
Anything? Wait, say that one more time.
You know, the Republicans often use, we haven't been attacked since 9/11 as a sign that their policies work.
Yeah, they have been doing that. And Cheney went on record while he was doing the campaign trail for the reelection campaign, saying that, and he put this out there, saying that if Americans make the wrong decision, they are setting themselves up for an attack up to the level of September 11th. And it's basically...
So a vote for, which is where our joke came from, a vote for John Kerry is a vote for the terrorists.
Right. Which is, I mean, that, you know, like, talk, first of all, you know, like, they cheapened the, you know, the event, you know, like, enough. But to have to bully people into voting for Bush like that, it's just, that's what the way it felt. It just felt like they are bullying us into voting.
Yeah,
They're trying to give us an Indian burn, trying to take our lunch money.
The bullying, I don't think, really has stopped.
No,
they might have moved away from 9/11, but the bullying hasn't stopped.
Oh, absolutely.
We have a phone call that's actually been sitting there waiting since before we went on the air. So, area code 515, I'm going to you right now. Hello? I got the button. Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, you're on the air. Come on. Yeah.
Scotsman here.
Hey, Brian.
Scotsman.
How are you?
I told you I'd get on the air to ruin your radio show sometime.
I just had to schedule something in the evening, didn't I?
Yep, you had to.
Central, so that you could fit in for Central. So Brian, say hi to George.
Hey, Scotsman, how are you?
Hey, George, how you doing?
Doing well, all things considering.
Okay, yeah. Brian, you want to talk about 9/11?
Yeah, of course I do. But I promise
and
I
swear to God, if you say conspiracy theory, you're never coming back on this program. No. Okay, Brian, what do you want to say? The floor is yours, Brian.
Scotsman?
I think we might have lost him.
Uh-oh.
You hear? Yeah. Oh, no, he's still with it. I'm on here. Hello, Brian. No, he's gone. We lost him.
God damn it.
So hopefully, Brian, call back if you're listening. You got disconnected. I think maybe Brian's secret warrantless wiretap went wrong. Something went wrong with the government spying on Brian. He'll have to call us right back.
Oh,
but maybe
well.
I took all the thunder away by saying
conspiracy theory.
I had to get a clean line. Okay, he's back. Let's go to Brian again.
All right.
Okay, Brian.
Let me take off the tinfoil hat. Maybe that'll help the reception.
Yeah, take off the tinfoil hat. And, you know, maybe if you take the black tape off the windows.
No. That's the only thing holding on the plastic wrap.
Well, remember, we have to bubble wrap our houses to prevent a chemical attack.
Of course. They'll save us from nuclear attack and all. But, yeah.
Okay, Brian, what do you want to say about 9/11?
9/11, very solemn time. I still remember. Yeah, you know, I got the news kind of late. I was still sleeping. I got up at 3:00, got on my nifty AOL, and saw right on the front page, you know, America under attack. Like, what's going on? So I checked it out, and man, my heart just dropped. It was all of that just hit me all at one time. It was an absolute atrocity what happened, and. I really hate the way that this country has gone in the process of trying to deal with the threats that have come about. So, you know, as you know.
So, you know, Brian, I'm glad you called because there's a question I want to ask you.
Okay.
It relates to, I firmly believe that you can fight terrorism without sacrificing civil rights and liberties.
I
do a lot of writing on Forlomania, so I'm hoping that you talk a little bit about loss of civil rights, loss of civil liberties, and how you basically feel.
Well,
in a general nutshell, let's talk about the Patriot Act. That's really your series you're working on just a little bit.
Well,
tell us in your opinion, what does the Patriot Act have to do with the war on terror?
The Patriot Act really doesn't have a whole lot to do. What it does is it increases the police enforcement power in the country and in so many ways that really doesn't have anything to do with terrorists abroad. And you know, everything about that bill, the minute it hit the floor, was suspect. It came out a month later. It was passed within a day. It was signed within a day after that, and without debate, without committee time, anything. And as I looked through the Patriot Act, and I'm still in the process of looking through the Patriot Act
Just to remind people, it's not a small piece of legislation.
I'm sorry, what's that?
It's not a small piece of legislation.
Yeah.
This wasn't a little one-page rider. This bill is hundreds of pages long.
Yes, it is, and it takes a lot longer than that to get a bill going and get a bill developed of that stature. So, it really doesn't do anything, in my opinion. It directs a whole lot of it directs more surveillance inside the country than need be, and the civil rights that have been destroyed, whether a lot of people see it or not now, in the process of trying to fight terror and in the name of national security, is an absolute atrocity to our Constitution.
I'm going to ask both of you, and I'm going to start with George, because I think we might have found someone that can talk as much as George. okay, George, first off, what do you think is the worst thing to come out of 9/11?
The worst thing to come out of it?
Out of the politics after the attacks.
I think it created like an out for you know, the Republicans to basically say, if anybody is not going against, you know, like not going along with what they have to say or what they feel is the right, the quote unquote right way to go, and
right.
if they disagree with that, then the immediate response of the right is, why do you hate America? And it immediately polarizes this nation. It's basically, as soon as he said, you know, like, you're either, you know, with us or you're with the terrorists, it's not you're either with us or against us. It's you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. And that basically just allows for no one to say, you know, like, wait a second. You know, like, I mean, I'm not with them, but what you're thinking is pretty screwed up.
It basically shut up all discussion and discourse in the country as far as any issue was concerned, because they related every issue back to 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, if there's one political after effect of 9/11 that's been worse than all the others, what would you say it was?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Again. If there's same question as George, if you could name one political consequence of 9/11 that's worse than all the others, what would it be?
I think it is I would agree with George that it is polarizing, but at the same time, we ended up developing a culture of fear that wasn't really even seen during the Cold War days, unless there were nukes pointed at us. It's constantly utilized, it's constantly used as propaganda. It always comes about with Cheney saying, if you do not elect us, then they will come to get you. That sort of mentality, that sort of utilization of fear is absolutely horrifying in this country. And that is the biggest political loss that we have faced, that people are scared to speak out if they have differing opinions. People that do speak out, you know, like George said, they're considered to be un-American, or why do you hate America? Trust me, I've heard it plenty. But, fear is the worst consequence of 9/11.
I would completely agree. And to actually get on this topic, the one thing that jumps out at me as I reflect back on 9/11, every time I do, is the fear. It was not necessarily even the unity that came in the country afterwards, but first and foremost, this palpable fear that enveloped everyone and everything everywhere.
The strangest thing about the whole situation is that he had a chance to really be that uniter. People were, I mean, you know, like over here, you know, like when the towers went down and everything, there were so many people that were there that were waiting to help, that were looking, they were going after everything, you know, like anything that they could do. They just felt like they had to do something, and there was this great feeling of unity And he had that. You know, like, we were ready to give that to him, and he screwed it up.
He didn't just screw it up. He literally raped it.
Yeah.
Still raping it.
He looked at it. He said, this can be used. He had two choices when the world was behind him and America was behind him. He could have used it for good, and he could have used it to further a global agenda of cooperation against terrorism and maybe even open a few doors with Iran and North Korea and really, really turn his presidency into something special. Or he could use it, he could manipulate it and go to war with Iraq.
Yeah.
And we all know which one he chose.
Yeah, he came out basically,
that was the basic choice it came down to.
Yeah.
And he chose the one that would be, the one that would help him get reelected in 2004.
Now, I will say that if a more graceful person and a much more verbally sophisticated person could have possibly used this to his gain and still keep that unity, still keep that 75, 80, 90% approval rating, I guess in some instances with some of the bills and the executive orders that I've seen, I guess it is kind of lucky that he decided to flub up on this so badly. Because we can see exactly where he's going with that certain things. And people are saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't necessary. Why are you doing this?
And where he's going, in case anyone didn't realize that if they'd been living, you know, far away or in a coma for the past 6+ years, where he's going is an expansion of power in the executive branch that the Nixon people could only dream of. The imperial presidency and more is where he wants to go. And this is no surprise. We've talked about George in this program before. When you're dealing with an administration that has its share of ex-Nixon people, it's no surprise they would have that philosophy on executive power. Why is everyone so surprised? Why, when everyone went to see Fahrenheit 9/11, did they gasp when they heard some of the things that George W. Bush has done? If people had done their homework even slightly, they wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, I have a couple polls I want to get to, too. It's really great that you called, Brian. I'm going to keep you on here as long as you want to stick around, actually.
Hey, I will stay on as long as you want me.
Okay, well, Brian, does this mean you're not gonna download and listen to the show? Have we lost a listener?
Right.
Yeah, have we gained a guest that lost a listener? But actually, let me pull up the polls here. Oh, by the way, somebody forgot to log into our AAM account at 7:00 because Will normally handles that. So anyone out there listening? If you want to AM us, the username is CAPJ71. We're open for business now. And if you want to call in and join us, our phone number is 718-664-6734. Now, on these polls, the really interesting thing, there were three polls released today. All three show the same thing. George W. Bush is being judged very harshly now for the way he handled 9/11. I'm going to give you the exact numbers as soon as they. I have about a billion windows open, so seems like it's a great one. Here we go. Now we're there. Okay, first of all, if we're going to talk about, I don't know if you guys saw the Zogby poll today. The Zogby poll found that 90% of people believe on the East Coast believe that we're going to be attacked again on a 9/11 scale. 75% of people on the West Coast. 61% of respondents. They think about 9/11 at least once a week. 91% overall said they think the nation will be attacked again. The interesting thing is here is, in the Rasmussen and Force poll released today, 59% of Americans now believe that the events of 6 years ago changed America for the worse.
Wow.
That's an increase from 54% a year ago. 21% believe America has changed for better because of 9/11. The number actually... 6 weeks after the tragedy, this is a mirror image of exactly what happened 6 weeks after 9/11, except 57% of people after 2001 thought the country had changed for better. The number grew to 61% by January 2002, and now, 5 years later, 21% of people surveyed hold the optimistic view that America changed for the better.
Wow.
54% of people say America changed for the worst. 45% of Republicans say America changed for the worst. And 71% of Democrats and 61% of Independents. Now, this change for the worst, is that due to what happened? The people reflecting on the terrorist attacks, or is it because of the Iraq War and the choices that the path this administration chose?
I think it has to be the path that the administration chose.
Yeah, I can say that.
And how much of this? I'll throw it on Brian here. How much of this is actually a souring on George W. Bush? How much of this is personal?
How much of this is what?
How much of this is personal, since the country is soured on Bush? Is this a matter of people realizing Bush is a bad president and now looking back at events through a jaundiced eye?
I think there's quite a bit of it that might be personal. Everybody has their own reasons for hating George Bush. Sorry, George, we hate you.
Not our George.
I'm sure people have their own reasons for hating
George.
Me too.
Everybody loves our George.
There you go.
As much as I would like to say, there are people waking up to a lot of certain events and things that are going on that are kind of a little bit off. I would have to say that it is personal. It might be a word of mouth. It might be more of a gang mentality where, all I hear now is Bush is bad, Bush is bad, so I'm going to take that same opinion. So I think a lot of that is just people absorbing the other commentation going on around the country now, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Now, the number that just jumped onto me, let me reiterate one more time. 45% of Republicans say the nation's changed for the worse since 9/11.
I'm sorry, what's that?
45% of Republicans say the nation has changed for the worse since 9/11.
Yeah. Bush has not really taken too much of a Republican agenda after 9/11, to tell you the truth, from what it looks like. And a lot of people in the Republican Party are feeling extremely disenchanted. And I honestly believe that, especially the events with his supporting the amnesty bill that was going through, and a lot of the talk that he's been doing that has been very, very un-Republican, minus going in and turning the Middle East into a glass parking lot. There are more moderate Republicans out there that are looking for a separation from that neocon agenda that seemed to have taken over their party. So,
speaking of that neocon agenda, how much do you think the lack of support for any of the top Republicans is related to the fact that they tend to voice that stay the core's agenda?
I think
George and I talk about Giuliani all the time here, from a New Yorker's point of view. The difference is because remember, Giuliani has come out pretty much said stay the course. Romney said stay the course. Thompson said stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
Does this lead to some dissatisfaction with rank-and-file Republicans who realize staying the course isn't working?
I am not really certain, to tell you the truth.
It's more of a rhetorical sort of hypothetical, because I'm not sure, I don't think rank and file Republicans are sure.
Yeah.
Why, except for the fact that Giuliani is too liberal, Mr. Mormon,
right.
Except for the character things that they're rejecting candidates for. The Republicans want a change, but they don't seem to want that big of a change.
Right.
They seem to want Republicanism without George W. Bush.
Yeah, and they're going through a serious identity crisis right now.
Yeah, isn't it? Okay, I'll tell you both of you guys. Isn't this amazing to watch the Republican Party basically deconstruct itself and pull what the Democratic Party normally does every 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
did
you ever think you would see today the Democratic Party has it more together than the Republicans?
I never thought I'd see it, really.
I'm sure, George, did you ever think you'd see today?
You think back to those days when the Democrats had to hold meetings in the cellar, it's just like you're just wondering, just like how quickly things turn around, and I mean obviously it's for left wingers and everything it's an exciting time, but at the same time it's just like you just kind of like look at this train wreck of a party that the Republicans have become because they have just been they have just basically allowed themselves to be absorbed by this whole, like, neocon agenda. When
we're seeing a shakedown between the neocons and the social conservatives, and the poor fiscal conservatives are the ones that are getting squeezed.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting squeezed out of their own party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the battle here is between the social conservatives and the neocons over here is going to control.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll ask both of you, think about where the Democrats were in 2002. Think about where they were in 2004. Did you ever think 2 or 3 years later they would be in a position to win back the White House and currently be in control of Congress? Brian?
I honestly didn't think it would happen. I mean, I still remember in 2000 hearing all sorts of right-wing commentators saying, oh, this is the destruction of the Democratic Party. They're fragmented. They're going to disintegrate any time now. And I honestly didn't think that they would take it in 2004. I didn't think that they'd take it even – but I did think they'd take it even more in 2006 after seeing the reaction to a lot of things. And it's just absolutely remarkable.
If you had told me 5 years ago the Republican Party will, or Democratic Party will be in control of Congress by 2006, and they will actually be poised to win the White House in 2008, running Hillary Clinton – they'll be poised to win the White House still.
Mm-hmm.
I would have said, you obviously know nothing about politics, and you're pretty much going to rehab, solve that crack addiction. there's no way. But I think one of the big things to come out of the fundamental change in this country has been the Democratic Party's revival. That while they were totally cowardly after 9/11, and they kowtowed to everyone, and they were afraid of looking un-American,
mm-hmm. All of a sudden,
like, they got a spine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
well, popular opinions were giving them a spine.
Well, yeah.
If popular opinion wouldn't have shifted, the Democrats would still be a minority, and there would probably be 70 Republican senators in the Senate, and we wouldn't be talking with this right now.
I do have to say it was damn entertaining to watch Britt Hume make that announcement that the Democrats had won control of the House. Like, that was –
It's one of those things, performing
a funeral mass or something.
It's one of those things where there have been so many changes after 9/11 politically. One of the big questions I want to ask, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left in the program. Why do you think television, except for the cable news networks, isn't giving 9/11 the attention it did before? We'll hit George first. He's our film guy. He's close to television. We'll hit George first.
I think last year was like, since that was the 5-year mark, I think that was when they were like, okay, we have to eventually move on from this. Because this one thing that I was mentioning to Cheryl was how there was, you know, like you can have all the different family members and everything eventually move, you know, accept what happened, move on with their lives and everything, but then assign one day to basically drag your feelings right back down into the gutter again, and cry and grieve and everything, and then you're basically just spending the next few months having trying to build yourself back up again. That's not healthy. You have to eventually get past it.
The one thing that actually shocked me today, and I will say, the fact that President Bush didn't bother to come to New York and attend the ceremonies at Ground Zero.
Well, you know, like 9/11 got him what he wanted, got him a second term. As soon as he got that, he had no more use for it practically, and he basically just kind of handed it off to Giuliani like it was a baton in a relay race.
Any thoughts, Brian?
I would definitely agree. Bush not going to New York might have other implications. We all know how much George Bush loves protests, and from what I understand, there's tons of protests going on down there right now. So I think he handed it off to Giuliani almost as, okay, here's your next guy. Give him the nomination, in a way. And I do see that. I do see him trying to get the focus off of him and trying to get another positive spin back on the war in Iraq, the buildup for a possible war in Iran, the war in Afghanistan, which nobody seems to remember most of the time anyway anymore, until a soldier dies. And he knows that he's kind of a poison pill for some of the candidates, which I think he would see a little bit better to keep on pushing his agenda.
Okay, guys, we're just about out of time. George, anything you want to promote for this week yet?
Yes, tomorrow we'll continue my Star Trek month on Scene Anatomy 101. I will be taking a look
George,
at the scene from...
did you say Star Trek month?
Yes.
I thought you could get a geek here after the Harry Potter Catch a Predator month.
Oh, I have ways. And
okay, and then
the next day, Thursday, will be my 30th edition of the UBS Evening Movie News.
Okay, Brian, anything coming up on the pipeline for you, for us in the policy zone?
Well, I am still, I will try and get that to you tonight. I will try and make sure tomorrow or whenever you get it posted, I would. I am still working on my first article in the series.
What are you working on, Brian?
Huh? Fast Track
to Tyranny. Working on, Brian? Okay.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Okay, Brian, give him the title. Tell him what you're working on.
Okay. Fast Track to Tyranny. I'm going to be looking over some of the more questionable bills that have come about since 9/11, starting with the Patriot Act 1. Going to be trying to take an in-depth look at some of the legal jargon and trying to layman it out for everybody. My cheap plug this time. And I would like to say, everybody, read up, look around, take a look at everything that's going on. It's not out there, so.
And, of course, Brian can be found at forumonmania.com/politics, our zone. That's it for this program. I'm glad you called in, Brian. It was great. Thanks for coming on. You can come back anytime you want.
George,
I'll see you on Sunday.
Of course.
And for George and Brian instead of Will, I'm Jason. Have a good week, and we'll see you Sunday.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jason.